Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Franchise Interviews. For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years we've been asking the entrepreneurs along one. I'm your host Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Scott Nichols, director of franchise business development for Sears Hometown and Outlet Stores. And Sears Hometown and Outlet Stores is a national retailer primarily focused on selling home appliances, lawn and garden equipment, tools and hardware. We're going to talk to Scott about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. Stick around because we got a great show.
Are you looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing, helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one on one. I'm your host Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Scott Nichols, the director of franchise business development for Sears Hometown and Outlet Stores. And Sears Hometown and Outlet Stores is a national retailer primarily focused on selling home appliances, lawn and garden equipment, tools and hardware. Hey Scott, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm doing well, Scott. Thanks for coming on the show today. Well, I'd like to ask our guest where you're calling from.
I'm calling from the greater Chicagoland area.
Okay, great. That's fantastic. And that's where, of course, the headquarters is, right?
First Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Maybe we could dive right into it. I mean, everyone knows Sears, Scott, as an iconic American brand, but maybe you can tell us about the history of Sears Hometown and Outlet Stores first.
Sure. Well, we were... I'm going to go way back in the history books, but years and years ago, Sears had what we call catalog showrooms around the United States in rural markets.
Right.
And basically it was a venue for people to go and buy Sears products where they didn't have immediate access to it from a, access to a full line or a mall store.
Right.
So they literally would go to these locations, look in the catalog, order what they needed, and then Sears would deliver it to them, and then they'd pick it up. So fast forward to the early 90s, advent of the Internet, that was becoming somewhat of an obsolete model.
Right.
So what they developed, but what they discerned was, is that there was still a need for the Sears product, typically the hard goods, the appliances, tools, power lawn and garden, so forth. And so they made a decision to convert those catalog showrooms to Sears hometown stores, we call them dealer stores, what have you.
Right.
That started in 1994. That was a business unit under Sears Holdings. Then fast forward to the early 2000s, Sears started seeing some deterioration in market share in appliances. It had nothing to do with the fact that people didn't like Kenmore. It had more to do with the fact that we were kind of captive in our mall locations and mall traffic was declining.
Right.
So we made a decision to start developing Sears Home Appliance Showrooms, which is our smaller appliance-only format, about a 4,500 to 5,000 square foot space, and basically locating them closer to the lifestyle centers that our customers were going to. So we started developing those, great timing, late 2007, early 2008. We built about 40 of those around the country, ran them ourselves corporately, and then didn't make a decision and start franchising them until 2009. So that's kind of the evolution of hometown stores, home appliance showrooms, and then, of course, we have our hardware stores and our outlet stores that we started franchising soon thereafter.
So are there, besides the brand name, are there still any ties to Sears Holdings then, Scott?
We have independent business agreements with Sears
right.
where we have an independent, we have a supplier relationship with Kenmore, Craftsman, and Die Hard
right.
where they supply us product. There's certain business services that we use from Sears. But we are basically an independent company separate from them. And we will continue to evolve, move away from them, developing, you know, our own standalone business support.
Right. But, of course, I was like, you're holding that. I mean, the Sears name is so powerful. I mean, you know, as I mentioned in the beginning, I mean, it's really an iconic name. And I said you were going to get a kick out of this. But, of course, over the weekend, we needed a dryer. And, of course, we're ready for a new washing machine. So we got both at the same time. And you can imagine where we went. We went to Sears. I mean, it's always the first, you know, thought in your head when you're thinking of appliances, isn't it?
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, Kenmore, what do they say? Kenmore's in, you know, 50 million households in America
right.
today. So it is, yeah, it's that Sears name is just, especially as a franchisor, there's so
yeah.
many, you know, you've been doing this for years, but you think about how many new franchise entities there are out there. It's
yes.
such a, I don't want to say a cluttered marketplace, but
yeah.
there's a lot of choices. And so
yeah.
when you're out there to say Sears, you know, it really cuts through the clutter and says, Sears franchises, I gotta find
yeah.
out about it.
So well, exactly, I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, one of the things that, you know, I recently did my dissertation on franchising, you know, and of course the one, you know, one of the things that you are getting when you buy a franchise is that brand name, and Sears has to be, I was saying to my wife before the show today, I'm really the most powerful brand name you can have on the show is, I mean, when it comes to branding, I mean, you really don't get much bigger than Sears, do you?
I'd like to think that's correct, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we talk about the store concepts. you know, what store concepts does Sears Hometown and Outlet Stores operate, Scott?
Okay, sure. Well, the first one I think I talked about was the Sears Hometown store.
Yeah.
Typically, it's a 7,500 to 9,000 square foot box.
Okay.
60% of its product line is appliances, but then they also do power, lawn and garden, you know, lawnmowers, tractors, but it's seasonal so that, you know, during spring, you know, you'll see more lawnmowers, grills,
yeah.
and so forth. During the winter, we'd add snow blowers. We also have a line of tools. When we first started that, we had consumer electronics, stereos, TVs, but very competitive business, very tight margins.
Yeah.
And so we
yeah.
gradually evolved out of that, and then we have mattresses. So that's Sears Hometown. Again, 95% of them are located in what I would call rural, non-metropolitan markets or,
right.
you know, exurban locations right on the edge of a major metropolitan area. We have about 900 of those, 907. Well, I can give you the exact number. We have 903 as of October 31st of this year.
Wow.
So we have 900 of those around the country. The other one is, as I talked a little bit about, is the home appliance showroom.
Right.
It's the newest of the formats.
Okay.
Again, we rolled it out in 2007, started franchising in 2009. There's 100 of those open and operating around the country. Again, 4,500 to 5,000 square foot box. If we have a larger box, say, you know, we just found the absolute perfect site, but it's 6,500 square feet, as an example. We'd put mattresses in it. If we can't do mattresses because of lease restrictions, we'll do fitness equipment in there. But we only have a few of those around where we have the fitness equipment or the mattresses. I think maybe 10 or 12 stores have mattresses in them. But 95% of that is appliance related. Then there are hardware format, which is basically our hardware store. I like to call it an Ace on steroids because it's a bigger Ace box, a lot more tools, a lot more lawn and garden. But we also sell appliances out of there as well. We'll typically have 3,000 square feet in our 20,000 square foot box that has appliances in there. And then our final format, I use that final just because that's the one that we most recently started franchising, is our outlet format. That has actually been what I would call a legacy brand or format within Sears, in that it was under Sears, for lack of a better word, operation ownership for years and years and years. And the reason that evolved is, Sears was getting a lot of returns back from customers because, damage during delivery, damage during installation, or they just changed their mind. So we decided that we thought, well, what are we going to do with all this return merchandise? You can imagine the thousands of stores we had, we're getting a lot of product back. Somebody had the bright idea, let's sell it and sell it at a discount. So born was the Sears outlet store. The first one opened up in Kansas City, Missouri, 1968, if I'm not mistaken. And we've since developed about 149 outlet stores that we have open and operating around the country. When we first started developing them, there was no real estate science devolved around it. It was like people at Sears was like, well, where do we have available space? Let's stick it there. So you look at some of these locations where we have outlets and you scratch your head going, what were they thinking? But over time, people learn where they were, and they come to know that they can get great deals on appliances. And we do sell new inbox merchandise as well, where we'll have manufacturers' closeouts, discontinued line items that we'll buy. And then what we've also recently started doing is we now have an arrangement with Lowe's and Home Depot where we'll take back their return product, buy it from them, and then sell it in our Sears outlet stores. Now, we don't obviously go to their store with a Sears truck and pick it up. We have a third party that goes to do that. But that's what we call our reverse flow concept, where it's more of a function of us developing additional lines of inventory so that we can continue to build new locations and then continue to franchise them.
That's
so those
fantastic.
Are our four formats.
So with all four formats, Scott, are all all of them franchisable? Or, does the aspiring entrepreneur, have a choice as far as, what format they're interested in? How does that work?
Well, we typically, Sears hometown stores typically are what I would call self-developed, where we'll identify a location and then work with that owner to build the store. The other three formats, which are all franchised. The hometown stores, we're just now beginning to start franchising those.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of a difference. Those are more licensed, whereas the other three formats are franchised. But it's really dictated by what their area of interest is, where they want to go, and then we would sell them, whatever existing locations that we have in the marketplace.
Wow.
But we're running out of – I can tell you that it's a rapidly diminishing inventory. When I started about 3.5 years ago, we had about 330 stores among the three franchise formats, outlet, hardware, and showroom, and they're only 27 franchised. Today we have about 360, so we've grown those brands because we've increased the number of showrooms, increased the number of outlets. But we've now got over 230 of those are now franchised. So they're going fast.
That's amazing. What are the company's growth strategy for franchising, Scott?
We have to be first and foremost. We'd like to look at markets where we know a Sears full line store is closing. And a lot of that is not, A lot of it has to do with the fact that in a lot of these full line stores that are closing. are in buildings that are, you know, really functionally obsolete, or are they in trade areas where the market's moved away from the trade area? I mean, you look at any major metro market, you see how those markets evolve. Sears, when they built a lot of these, you know, Sears and JCPenney probably got built 70% of the malls were built back in the 50s and 60s were built because they were anchored by one of those two big anchors.
Right.
And we owned a lot of the real estate. So we're now in malls that are 50 and 60 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Old buildings and really older trade areas where the shopping patterns have changed and migrated away from where we're located. So it makes sense for us to close them. So by closing the full line stores, it opens up an opportunity for us to develop either a showroom or an outlet. Those are the two formats that we're most focused on developing new locations around.
That's something. What parts of the United States are you seeing the greatest opportunities for growth, Scott?
In terms of organic new store growth, we will be concentrating on the eastern third of the United States.
Yeah.
So cut, basically from western Pennsylvania, take a line from western Pennsylvania all the way down south and then go east, and that's where the focus of our development's development will be in terms of new stores. We've been very, very aggressive recently out in the West Coast. I think it's just a function of slowing down a little bit to allow the stores to develop and mature, and then we just see a lot of opportunities, in the eastern half of the United States, eastern third of the United States.
That's something. Who are your ideal franchisees, Scott? I mean, do you look for any particular types of characteristics, and maybe you can tell us about some of your all-star franchisees?
Mm-hmm. Sure. As a retail franchisor, there aren't a lot of multi-unit franchisees in that marketplace because there's just not a lot of retail franchisors. So we had to go fish. We wanted multi-unit owner-operators because we had a concentration of stores in major markets. And so we wanted people that had that expertise, had that ability, had that infrastructure to be able to acquire multiple locations in various markets. So we went fishing in the food category because really 90% of franchisors are food-related. So between 90 and 95%. So we went where we've gone to shows where they tend to go and got a lot of attention, obviously, because you put a Sears sign up and, people are going to stop going, what?
Oh, yeah.
Sears franchises. So
exactly.
That's typically who we've gone after. Tony Lutfi is our biggest franchisee. He has 40 of our stores now across almost exclusively in the western half of the United States, in Missouri, Kansas, Texas, and then California, Oregon, and Washington. He has stores there, but he's a multi-unit franchisee with multiple brands. He has Jack in the Box, Little Caesars. Mm-hmm. He just bought Captain D's, Sizzler. I think I mentioned.
He's been referenced on our show on several occasions, actually. So I know his name very well.
Tony has 200 units. Among all of those brands. He's been unbelievably successful, continually wins, sales awards, service awards, you name it, he's won it. He's definitely one of our all-star franchisees.
That's great. What's the, if you could talk about, Scott, the typical investment range for, opening up one of your stores, and do you offer any internal financing?
Sure. Let me give you a breakdown as to what the actual, store development cost is for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the investment level changes because we'll have mature locations that we basically price based on their profitability.
Yeah.
So our typical showroom costs about $155,000 plus $25,000 initial franchise fee.
Yeah.
We have our hardware stores that will run you around, from a development cost standpoint, around $300,000, maybe a little less, depending on location. Again, there's no lands included. These are all leased locations that we develop these in. And then our outlet's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $375,000 to $400,000 to build. And again, that's bigger function of the fact that it's just it's a bigger box, more equipment, cash registers, cameras, computer equipment that we use. Our website for SearsOutlet.com is dynamic, so that we're literally selling online through our websites, whereas our other two websites, hardware and showrooms, are static, meaning they're just kind of an informational website. So between those three, those are the development costs. But, you know, we typically sell our showrooms for what it will cost us to build them. So, you know, about $175,000 to $180,000. Our hardware stores, we sold them for as little as $100,000 to upwards to $1 million. And outlets will range typically from $400,000 up to about $1 million. And we do offer financing. We finance 80% of the purchase price. And we do that over 10 years at 7%.
That's great. A lot of our listeners, Scott, I mean, they're sold on the concept of franchising because of all the different types of benefits that are provided through franchising. Does Sears Hometown and Outlet Stores offer any benefits that go beyond what franchisees would typically gain from joining a particular franchise system?
I think the biggest shock for people, and I say it's a shock because we talk to a lot of franchisees, we don't have any ongoing royalties. We work on a consignment model, so we own all the inventory up front. So there's another large capital cost that's not incurred by the franchisee. And we do all the pretty much national marketing for the franchisee, so they don't pay us any ongoing royalty. They don't pay us any ongoing marketing fee. We do it all ourselves for them. We also give them tools to use so that if they want to do additional local store marketing, very, very specific to their trade area, we make that available to them as well. But all of that other stuff is all of those other resources, I should say, are supplied or paid for by us.
That's something.
We are very much congruently aligned with our franchisees, and that. You know, the more they sell, the more money we make. I mean, we're basically sharing our margin on the product is what we're doing.
It's a win-win situation.
I would like to think so.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Over the, you know, we've been doing this show 8 years, Scott, and you know, there's some franchises out there, you know, some really old classic names, you know, that you have like A&W Restaurants. We were recently referencing Friendly's, you know, as far as like, you know, very strong brand names. But sometimes there's a perception of them being like outdated. You know, and Sears might be thrown into that category. What changes have been made to your store formats to make them more, I guess we could say, appealing to your consumers?
Well, the beauty of our showrooms is that it's our newest format. I mean, we started rolling those out. We built 40 of them. The bulk of them were opened really within a six to nine-month window starting at the end of 2007 through third quarter 2008. The other 60 locations that we have open with our showrooms all open starting in basically mid-2011 through today. So just because of the very nature of the fact that they're relatively new, we designed them to be quite a bit different in that it's a bit more of an upscale retail environment that you typically see in a Sears full-line store, partly because of the newness of it, but also just the quality of the fixtures that we use. It's also designed more for our target customer, which is, for lack of a better word, soccer moms, you know, the 30 to 50 with, you know, kids. So we've got a kid-friendly environment in there so that there's a TV with a DVD player. There's a little table in the middle so they can draw. But it's all in the center so mom can walk around, you know, the periphery of the store and still see the kids and not have to worry about it and focus on what our salespeople are trying to say, you know, share with the customer. So that's new. Hardware stores, again, more of a legacy format within Sears. Sears had had it for many, many years. We took it over under our business unit when we were part of Sears and then spun it off. We haven't developed a lot of new locations under the hardware store. So there's, you know, some are older, but what we've done is we have shared a redevelopment cost with the franchisee, whereby we have a store of the future to freshen up the model, and we basically split that cost with the franchisee when they bought the store. Our outlet stores, because we don't own the real estate, We're kind of at the mercy of Sears Holdings as to what to do,
right,
in terms of what we're allowed to do, I should say. But we've probably developed, I'm going to say, 45 new locations within the last 3 years.
Wow.
And they're typically located within the more traditional retail environment you typically see, you know, for retail, as opposed to some of the older ones that are in warehouse and industrial locations that are quite a bit older buildings that, you know, there's just not a lot you can do with them. So, but the newer ones, very much because of their, and these have all been developed, I'm going to say, I'd say probably within the last 5 years, but the bulk within the last three. So, again, newer model, but a very much more traditional, upscale, retail look, feel, atmosphere.
Right.
Than you typically see in a Sears full-line store.
That's fantastic. How can our listeners get more information on becoming a franchisee, Scott? Are there any websites that they can go to directly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. www.ownasearsstore.com and gives them all the breakdown information on that. My contact information is on that website as well.
That's great. It was a pleasure to have you and, of course, the Sears name on the show, Scott. Again, this is one of the biggest names we can actually have on the show, so it's a privilege
great.
And honor to speak with you. And, you know, I'd really like to invite you back next year as you know, you have all this going on within your...
We'd love to be back. We'd love to be back, and we thank you very much for having us.
It's my pleasure, Scott. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 6 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today you're going to get to hear from Lawrence Doc Cohen, who is a veteran of the franchise industry, who first franchised Great American Cookies 33 years ago. He became the first ever franchisee inducted into the International Franchise Association Hall of Fame, and you're going to get to hear from him right now.
Yeah, I like it. Let's do it.
What was it that made you decide to go into franchising, Doc? I mean, again, you had, you know, a couple different choices, I guess, at that time of your life. What was it about, you know, becoming a franchisee?
Well, I had been part of other startups, and I knew just how difficult it was to begin a concept. So let's just say I had wanted to be Doc's Cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I could have done that. I could have said, all right,
right,
well, now I've got to develop a recipe. I've got to do my marketing program. I've got to get the financing. I've got to do an operations manual. I got to figure out how to do it. I got to figure out where the locations ought to be. And your franchising, a lot of that's done for you already. A franchise provides a concept that's been proven and tested. Somebody else has done all that work. The systems are typically in place and have been revised over time to prove that they can be successful, and
uh-huh.
It was just a great way to go.
Question I've been dying to ask you is, what's changed in franchising? I mean, you've been involved in it for such a long time now. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen, Doc, over that time?
Well, there have been a number of them. I think probably the most significant is the level of sophistication of the franchisee today, as opposed to when I went into it in went into this without doing sufficient homework. And so, as I said, a lot of this was luck back then. Today, franchisees are much more likely to have very strong legal advice, very strong financial advice, are familiar with things like business plans. I didn't know what a business plan was when I went into business. I had no idea what a business plan was. And today's franchisees are much more knowledgeable about those things. And today, franchisees are more likely to be multi-unit and multi-brand.
Right.
That's something that has changed significantly over the years, is that today you find franchisees like myself, in fact, that operate multiple brands and sometimes across different companies. So, you know, we have two brands in our for my own franchisor, and then I operate actually three other concepts.
Wow, it's interesting. Are you surprised about the number of franchise systems and the number of industries that are now franchising, Doc? I mean, when you first got into this, you know, going back 33 years ago, I mean, there weren't as many systems, there weren't as many industries. I guess it might have been maybe a little easier to get into franchising because it seems like there's so many choices and so many industries today. Are you surprised at the number of systems and industries?
No, not at all. I mean, it's funny because 33 years ago, I was thinking, oh my gosh, how do I get to be a franchisee? You must really have to know somebody to get one of these franchises. And what I think's happened over the years is that as franchising has grown, people have recognized that it's such a great way to grow a business. So you have an entrepreneur who has this great idea, and the entrepreneur develops the idea and sees it bloom, and he or she gets going with it, and it's really fantastic. And then somebody else sees it and says, "Gee, you know, that's a great idea. I'd like to do it." And you know, as an entrepreneur, you may be sitting there with limited capital, and you say, "Well, yeah, I can teach you how to do this," and you really get excited about the prospect of teaching someone else how to do the business that you've developed and grown. And I think that's what's exciting about franchising. And that's why I think, for one reason anyway, why franchising has grown. It's a great way for an entrepreneur to get more rapid growth of a concept that that he or she has developed.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.